This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation. Mystery Hour with James O'Brien.
3 minutes after 12 is the time. We haven't had one for a couple of weeks, so I've, under advisement, decided to have it this week, despite the fascinating events that are unfolding before us on the political landscape. Sheila will be returning to proroguing and attendant issues at 1 o'clock this afternoon. Eddie will be back on at four, no doubt addressing the somewhat odd behaviour of many cabinet ministers who were adamant that proroguing was absolutely anathema not that long ago, and now are apparently going along with it. No doubt Amber Rudd and Matt Hancock and Sajid Javid and Michael Gove and all the others that he identified, even Boris Johnson himself, that we have identified as having spoken out against the proroguing of Parliament in the last few weeks, will be accepting Eddie Mair's open invitation to come on the programme and talk him and indeed you through their apparent change of mind. Until then, you'll, I'm sure, agree with me that a little light relief is more than welcome. Unfortunately, we've got Mystery Hour instead, so you'll have to find your light relief where you can. This is your weekly opportunity to achieve the sort of satisfaction not ordinarily available anywhere else on your radio dial. You ring in with a question, someone hears you ask it, and then you ring in with an answer. I'm not taking political questions today. I appreciate the tempting it may be to ring in and ask about the mess that's unfolding, or indeed the glorious new dawn that's breaking, depending on your perspective. But Mystery Hour is about at least trying to get objective answers to questions. Who, why, where, when, whither, wherefore, even the occasional whence, whatever you want, ring in, ask it, as long as it's not boring. And I'm afraid we will be the final judge and jury on the question of whether it's boring or not. And if you're ringing in with an answer, you're not allowed to look anything up. That is it. You have to make room for people that answer questions from a well of knowledge, a previously perhaps untapped well of knowledge. We started doing this for a whole bunch of reasons, but my favourite reason is that it's an anti-Google. It's about, because I look at my kids, and you won't be surprised to learn that we're not raising them in a way that eschews books and learning, but they don't need it like we needed it. They just don't. Do you remember it was controversial when it was first suggested, and you'd have to be my age or older to remember this, that students should take calculators into exams? You think I'm joking? Keith's looking at me as if I've lost the leave of my senses. I did my O-level in 1987, right? You weren't allowed to take a calculator into your maths exam. I don't think you were. Yes, they did have calculators, you flipping comedian. All right, I took an abacus into my GCE O-level. I'm going off on one a bit, sorry. But of course it's stupid not to, especially if you're doing things like trigonometry. And for young people now, well, for all people now, you can find out every king of England since, every monarch of these islands since 1066 in 3 seconds flat. So why bother memorising it? You know? This is a little celebration of knowledge that is remembered rather than Googled. That's all. 03456060973 is the number that you need. 12:07 is the time. Mystery Hour is upon us. Sam's in Haringey. Sam, question or answer?
Question, please.
Carry on, Sam.
My question is, why after it rains are there so many snails about?
It's easier to slither around.
I'm not sure, because you do see them when it hasn't been raining. But,
yeah, but you don't see as many, because they're not slithering around as much.
But it's like directly after, it's like, I don't know, I walk along in the rain and I'm always stepping on snails, and I don't know.
I genuinely think that's the answer.
You don't think it's something in the air that they prefer?
Well, I'm not going to take a round of applause for this, but I mean, what happens after it rains? The ground gets slitherier.
Yeah, yeah.
And therefore, snails find it easier to slither around.
Yeah.
I'm not taking it. I'm just putting it on the board. We shall see. I like it. Or it might just be one of those weird things that they take cover when it rains and then they're dashing for home when it stops like we do.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I hate, Sam.
Go on.
In this hot weather. So I've got a sort of man cave at the bottom of the garden, right? With my air hockey and my PlayStation in it, that kind of thing. And I forget to turn the lights off, obviously. So bedtime, I glanced out and the lights are still on in the man cave. So I've got to go out. By this point, I'm barefoot because I put my gym jams on. I look out the top window, I see that I've left the flipping lights on in the mag. So I go and turn it, because if the light's on, it means I haven't locked up. 7 or 8 times out of 10, especially if it's rained, I tread on a snail with my bare feet when I'm going down
the... Oh dear, the worst feeling in the world.
It is one of the worst things imaginable. And we haven't even got a bidet. I was in France last week, I could have washed my feet in the bidet. You tread on a snail in London in 2000, where are you going to wash your feet? Get the garden hose going. Why do snails come out after it rains? I told you we needed some light relief, didn't I? Oh, Rob's in Peterborough. Rob, question or answer?
Good afternoon, James.
Good afternoon.
Question.
Carry on.
Wall's ice cream and Wall's sausages.
Yes.
Is Mr. or Mrs. Wall one and the same person, or
yes,
are they related?
Of course they are, you silly old sausage. It'd be like asking me about Finder's crispy pancakes and Finder's French bread pizzas, wouldn't it?
Well, they're not exactly similar. Was there one production line at one stage and they made sausages in the
Wall? Now you're being silly. Wall's was just a big company that made ice cream and sausages.
So they didn't buy a smaller ice cream company?
You're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to have, like, thingamy-what's-its.
More questions.
Yeah, so the question is it the same company? The answer is yes. I believe it was early 19th or late 18th century. It stems from, it's a bit like, it started with a market stall, Wall's, so they would have sold all sorts of stuff.
Right.
In fact, I think the market might have been in St. James's.
Okay, which came first?
I'm going out on a limb here. I'm going to say 1786, Rob.
Sausage came first or ice cream?
Right, obviously sausages came first.
Why obviously, James?
Well, because ice cream didn't exist in 1786.
Ah, yeah.
They didn't have industrial refrigeration processes. Go on, ask me anything.
No, that's fine, James.
I'm good on Brexit as well. Round of applause for me. Rob, mind how you go. Sonny is in Bromley. Sonny, question or answer?
Question.
Carry on, Sonny.
Why is it that when you buy a packet of yeast, it always comes in 7 grams? Because when me and my dad make bread,
yeah,
it always seems to come as 7 grams. And when we use, like, flour, it always seems to be in another amount, like a big, big bag.
It's a good question. How much yeast do you use in an average... How old are you, mate?
I'm 11.
Welcome aboard. How much yeast do you use in an average loaf?
1 packet.
Well, that's your answer.
Then why is the flour so big?
Well, you need a lot more flour than yeast to make a loaf of bread. So I think what they've done is they've worked out... I could be wrong on this. What did your dad say?
Why isn't the flour an exact amount for loaf of bread?
Whoa! What the hell happened there? It's like Doctor Who. That was astonishing. It's like that Tom Hanks film. No, I think what they've done... Can I talk to Sonny, please? I'm a bit uncomfortable with grown-ups. I think what they've done is they've worked out an average loaf, right? And they know that in your cupboard you're going to have a big bag of flour, but they know that once you've opened a packet of yeast, it can't hang around like flour does. So they've worked out how much yeast you need for an average loaf of bread, and they're selling their sachets of yeast in that amount so that you open it, you tip it all in the bowl, bish bosh, Bob's your uncle. What do you reckon?
Well, why? I still don't understand. Why would they... Why is it only yeast that comes in such a small packet compared
Because everything else you can keep in your cupboard after you've opened it. But with your yeast, you want it fresh, don't you? You need it sealed up, otherwise it's going to start yeasting all over the place.
My dad's just saying he's completely disagreeing with you.
Well, I mean, how often is your dad wrong, Sonny? Don't worry about being disloyal at this point in proceedings.
To be honest,
yeah,
he's very good at guessing which card is which, like, symbol.
Yeah.
So, Sonny, mate,
I don't do guessing, all right? Your dad can guess all day long. I'm here with the facts and the hard knowledge. And I don't
is
know.
Is it a fact, though?
No, it's not on this occasion. 7 of diamonds. There you go. I shall try and find out for you. I think I'm close to the answer, all right? But I can tell that you're a much tougher customer than most of my callers today, so I'm gonna put it on the board. Why does yeast come in 7 gram packages? Carl is in Romford. Carl, question or answer?
Answer.
Carry on, Carl.
To the snail question.
Oh, yeah. Take your time.
The reason why you get snails and slugs come out when it's raining is to stop them from drowning, because when they're in the ground, and if the ground gets saturated with water, then they drown. So they always come up when it's raining.
I didn't know they lived underground. Does that make me sound very stupid?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
All right. I mean, I knew worms did.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, I mean, they do. They,
is that why worms come out when it's raining as well?
Well, I don't know. I'm not too sure about worms. I mean, anything that's not going to be underwater.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. They said want to get out into the open. So there you go. Qualifications?
I've got my own company, Groundworks Company.
Nice work. Do you want to give it a shout?
Yeah, Rose Construction.
Wrote what?
It's fine.
Okay, yeah. Well, no, you've got a round of applause.
A round of applause.
Yeah, of course you do. I think, well, that sounds like the right answer to me. I stop some drive. You wouldn't want to drown snail. 12:14 is the time. I'll squeeze in Steve, shall I? And then we'll head over. Steve's in Canberra. What question or answer, Steve? No. We don't do these questions. It's scatological, mate.
It's a question on behalf of my daughter.
Oh, well, you see what you've done there? Played the emotional card, and now I can't sack you off rudely, can I? Because you probably haven't even got a daughter. What's a... No, go on. Question.
Yeah, she wants to know why bird poo is predominantly white and any other sort of animal... poo or yeah. Insects we come across is of a darker colour, i.e. brown or black.
Yeah. Diet?
Possibly.
Yeah, it must be, doesn't it? What do birds live on? Insects and things? Why? Oh, I don't know. All right, I'll let that on, but only because it's the school holidays. Would you tell your daughter that normally I wouldn't take any poo-related questions on this programme because it's a very serious forum for discussion and enlightenment, but I'll make a special exception in her case. Do you want to tell me her name?
Yeah, it's Cassie.
All right, Cassie. So the poo-related questions are all because of Cassie. It's 12:15.
LBC.
At the Bank of Antandek, they're looking for a mascot.
We need an icon. Something that says high flying to all our mortgage customers.
Like a falcon or a stallion.
Or even better, a parrot. Check it out.
Meanwhile, at Santander, they're concentrating on helping customers find ways to take years off their mortgage with their overpayment calculator. See what's possible at Santander.
All applications are subject to status and our lending criteria. Your home may be repossessed if you do not keep up repayments on your mortgage.
The Hour on LBC with James O'Brien. Call 0345 6060973.
12:18 is the time. You're listening to Mystery Hour with James O'Brien. A little bit of knowledge. This is lovely. That walls question, I did get it right. I did deserve my round of applause. The company that makes the ice cream is the same as the company that makes the sausages. But quite a few of you have got in touch to tell me that it started off as a butcher's on that market in St. James's in the late 18th century. But at the beginning of the last century, the boss of Walls, which was one of those companies that came out of the Victorian era with a social conscience, hard to believe these days, isn't it? He got quite uncomfortable about the fact that they had to lay off people during the summer. People didn't want as much meat in the summer as they did in the winter. So sausages, pies, that was all Walls staple stuff. So he came up with the idea of selling ice cream during the summer to make up the shortfall in business that saw them lay off staff. Of course, you wouldn't be able to lay off staff seasonally for much of the 20th century because you would have had protections in place. But we're back now in the so-called gig economy. So hopefully people who see their seasonal work dry up as a result of seasonal changes will have a boss like, I don't know what his name was. I was about to say James or Thomas Wall. There's usually sort of Robert, something like that. But there you go. You live and learn, eh? 12:19 is the time. Why is bird poo white? And why does yeast come in 7-gram packets? Both questions that have a school holiday feel about them because both questions have been posed by children. Sonny, in the case of the yeast, I missed a gag there. Should I do it now or would it just not be funny? No. Esprit d'escalier? I'm looking up at heads. One's nodding, one's shaking. It kind of sounds like it's like Brexit. This. I'm trying to have a break. When Sonny was on the line and I was chatting to him and he had the sparky diction of an 11-year-old boy. And I said, what does your dad think? And then without any warning at all, his dad came on the line and went, oh, I should have said, flipping it, Sonny, I think your voice just broke. But I missed the point and it's not funny in retrospect. Megan's in Bolton. Megan, question or answer?
It's an answer, James. Carry on, poo question.
To the poo question.
Yes.
This is for people just tuning in. This is a question about poo rather than a reflection upon the quality of the question that you're choosing to answer.
Oh, no, it was a fantastic question.
Yes, right.
So you'll notice that if you actually get pooed on by a bird, there's a white bit and a dark bit. And the white bit is actually what the birds produce instead of urine. So they don't actually...
Oh, you're right. Of course you're right. It's got black stuff in it, hasn't it? It's got a white soupy substance
that's the poo bit.
Around
exactly.
The outside. Mm-hmm. Qualifications?
When I was younger, I got pooed on at Chester Zoo when I was in a wheelchair at the penguin feed.
Oh,
and I was very upset about it.
I bet you were.
And asked the zookeeper. And
the question?
He told me.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
Pooed on by a normal bird, not by a penguin.
Oh, no, by the seagulls.
Well, yeah, a seagull flying overhead. Yeah. So I have to say, and I don't want to make light of your trauma, one of the happiest moments of my life was when my sister got pooed on by a pigeon in Trafalgar Square.
Oh, yeah. They lie and say that it's lucky, but that's just makes you feel better.
Of course they do. Can I ask your advice about something?
Go on.
Did you hear Sonny, who rang in earlier with the question about yeast? Now, normally on Mystery Hour, you're only allowed to answer questions if you ring in. I do not take answers via text or tweet or email. But, of course, some people listening to the programme have my private mobile phone number.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think if, for example, somebody of the celebrity status of Jamie Oliver had texted me privately with an answer to the yeast question, do you think I should break the Mystery Hour rule and read out his answer, or do you think I should wait for someone to ring in?
Oh, that's a difficult one. We're not in the time where we listen to experts, are we, really?
Well, I think this is a rare oasis, these 3 hours, well, actually other hours on LBC as well, where experts do still matter. So just give me a vote. I won't make your decision final. Yes or no? Do we let Jamie Oliver text in answers to Mystery Hour questions or not?
No, he's got to call in the rest of us.
All right, mate. Yes, that's 1-0, I'm afraid. So round of applause for Megan. Got to call in like the rest of us. We won't get through now. 22 after 12 is the time. Sarah is in Guildford. Sarah, question or answer?
It's a question.
Carry on.
So, I was wondering, if somebody owns a Grade 2 listed building,
yeah,
they did something to it, yes, that they're not supposed to, what are the consequences?
What are you planning?
Nothing, no.
Just a completely random question, is it, Sarah?
No, me,
just imagine, I don't know where this question came from, but if you had a Grade 2 listed building and you wanted, for example, to build an extension or put in some patio doors, what would the penalty be? What?
Or pull down something that they weren't supposed to.
Yeah, why do you want to know?
Well, me and my friend are property photographers and we were discussing it the other day.
Oh, right.
We were just wondering what had happened.
You are often ordered to build it back up again. I don't know whether it changes according to what grade it is, but near my old place, there was a beautiful old pub with a Victorian frontage, and the developers got permission to knock down everything behind it, but they had to leave the frontage up.
Right.
And the frontage fell down, and they had to put it back up again. But I mean, in some cases, that would be impossible, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know. Is the short answer to that.
Me and Lucia from Home Exposure, that's what we want to know. Sorry. Just a shout out to her, because she'll be very jealous that I've got
Do
three.
You know, normally I get the hump when people smuggle in a little advertisement for their business without my permission, but I'm prepared to make an exception in your case, Sarah.
Thank you, James.
You're very welcome. What happens if you breach the regulations with your Grade 2 listed building, with particular reference, I think, to pulling something down, OK? 03-45-60-609-73. 24 after 12 is the time. Carissa is in Ashstead. Carissa, question or answer?
Oh, hi, James. Hello, it's a question.
Excellent.
It's a question. I'm interested in eggs. I'm just wondering why we eat chicken, we eat chicken eggs, we eat duck, we eat duck eggs, we eat quail, we can eat quail eggs, and we eat turkey, but you never ever see turkey eggs. Well, I never have, for sale. I don't know if they use them in restaurants. I just don't know why we don't.
Because they all hatch.
Eggs. No, but they don't all hatch.
They do.
No.
They do. It's a very seasonal market, the turkey market. So that all the eggs that are hatched, they need them to grow into turkeys. They don't want any eggs.
Well, what about the rest of the time of the year? Because
they're all dead.
Short life.
They just save a few to produce next year's Christmas turkeys. And then they don't want...
What's the lifespan of a turkey?
Well, it depends when you cook it.
I just thought they must lay eggs at other times of the year.
Yeah, they do, but they're all I mean, it's not. I mean, I'm not going to sound like a genius when I answer this question. But the answer is Christmas.
Well, that's what makes me think about it. And
yes.
I had thought about Christmas, but
yes.
I just thought chickens.
If you
so
went to
eggs.
A country where there were turkeys, but turkey was not the traditional Christmas dish, then you would be able to buy turkey eggs.
Well, I suppose so, but we managed to eat chicken eggs and eat chicken.
Yeah, but we
round.
Eat them all year round.
Well, I think there's turkey available all year round.
But nowhere near on the scale that it is at Christmas.
Well, I'd still like to know whether they're used somewhere. Does anybody eat turkey eggs?
Yeah, I mean, almost certainly someone can eat a turkey. Farmer, for example, might have a turkey egg for his tea. But it's not, I mean, and you can probably buy them from turkey farms. But the reason why they're not as common or as popular as other eggs is because of the market for the bird rather than the egg. So what you're asking is what came first? I'll put it on the board. All right. Why don't we eat turkey eggs? Why is it hard to buy? Why can't you buy? Can you buy? Who knows? Turkey eggs. 0345 606 0973 is the number that you need. Duncan is in Blackpool. Duncan, question or answer?
Question.
Carry on.
Why are there jokers in a deck of cards? Just pointless.
It goes back to tarot, doesn't it? Doesn't it go back to when cards were used for more than mere games, when they were used for fortune-telling and stuff like that?
No.
What do you mean, no? What's your answer then, Clever Clogs?
No, I'm ringing for the answer.
I just gave it to you.
That sound right.
I just gave it. What do you mean it doesn't sound right?
Tarot. I know what tarot is, but...
Yeah. Fortune, not just tarot, not specifically tarot, but when you use cards for fortune telling or for you know, rune reading, then you, jokers were there for that reason. It's a hanger, so you get the Jack of Hearts and the Queen of Diamonds. Ooh, and a Joker. Ooh.
Oh, where's death?
Ace of Spades.
Is that death?
Of course it is. Can't dig a grave without a spade.
Oh, yeah. No, that's
you're buying that, and you didn't buy the tarot bit, mate. Seriously, I've got a bridge that I want to sell you. I'll put it on the board. Why is there a joker in a pack of cards? 0345 606 0973. Why can't you buy turkey eggs? What happens if you pull down something without permission in a Grade 2 listed building? And why does yeast come in 7-gram packets? Do we allow Jamie Oliver special celebrity status to answer that question by text? Or does he have to ring in like the rest of us? 27 minutes after 12 is the time. Carl is in Devon. You're my third Carl today.
Am I? Oh, cool.
Three Carls. You don't wait years for a Carl, and then three all come along at once. Question or answer?
It's an answer.
To which question?
The yeast in 7 grams.
Oh, well, there you go. This is it then. This is Jamie's.
I'll see if I agree with Jamie.
Well, I'm going to use him as my judge, all right, on this one? Go.
So 7 grams of dry yeast is the equivalent of 1 ounce of wet yeast. So all the recipes used to be in wet yeast amounts, and they used to have grams. They used to have ounces. So if you want to use the new dry yeast, you use 7 grams because it's the equivalent of 1 ounce.
But that's not what he said, and he's a famous chef.
Well, he's wrong then, isn't he?
Yeah, well, you can't say that. He's not even here to defend himself. Jamie Oliver, mate. Come on, it's not just some sort of Bake Off contestant. Yeah, he's the most famous chef in the land.
Don't mean he's a good baker, though, does it?
Have you ever tasted his baked goods?
I have.
Have you?
Yeah.
They're better than yours.
No, they're not.
Oh, yes, they are, Carl. What are your qualifications?
I've been a baker for 40 years, an amateur baker for 40 years.
An amateur baker. We've all been amateur bakers. If I baked a cake 40 years ago...
I teach baking to lots of people. I do lots of exhibition bakes and things like that.
Oh. I think you're both right, because I suspect I haven't got the wherewithal to establish whether you're right or not. But what Jamie told me was that you need about 7 grams for a kilo of flour.
Yeah, that's right too.
So
you need one ounce for a 2-pound loaf.
Yeah, so the sealed packet that Sonny asked about was specific to the kilo of flour for a standard bake, right? And it also would be true.
It used to come from a 2-pound loaf.
Yeah.
Because you used to make loaves in 2 pounds, and you'd use 1 ounce of fresh yeast for 2 pounds.
Right, okay. I'm now going to translate it into Jamie Oliverese, all right? Because he's given me the full... I've got chapter and verse. Kilo of flour, 7-gram pack of yeast, pint of tepid water, a good old knead up, and Bob's your uncle. If you add too much yeast, it tastes horrid.
Yeah,
so,
correct.
Right, you're going to share this with Jamie, all right?
Yeah, I'll share this with Jamie.
You don't have to. You can come over all Billy Big Bananas if you want, and I'll let you have it all to yourself. It's entirely your choice.
No, I'll share it with Jamie. I'm happy to be on the same table as Jamie.
I was going to say, it's a much better story.
Yeah.
Here it is.
A better story. It's not right, but it's a
better story. 12:30 is the time. Thomas Watts has the headlines. Mystery Hour with...
At the Bank of Antandek, they're looking for a mascot.
We need an icon. Something that says high fly into all our mortgage customers.
Like a falcon or a stallion.
Or even better, a parrot. Check it out.
Meanwhile, at Santander, they're concentrating on helping customers find ways to take years off their mortgage with their overpayment calculator. See what's possible at Santander.
All applications are subject to status and our lending criteria. Your home may be repossessed if you do not keep up repayments on your mortgage.
James O'Brien, this is LBC.
12:35 is the time. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC, where questions still in need of answers include why don't you ever see turkey eggs in the shops? And what actually happens if you've got a grade two listed building and you knock something down? See, we got into trouble once. We put in a bathroom without knowing that we weren't allowed to. And then when we tried to sell the house, it turned out that you weren't allowed to do that. So we had to undo it again. It was all right. It was, you know, only had one kid at the time. We still had some money to call our own. But what if we couldn't have undone it? Do you see what I mean? I think that's what the question was about. So if you've got a windmill in your garden and you knock it down, gee, I never said thank you to that man who sent me the picture of the windmill. I should probably deal with this off air. But remind me tomorrow. Ava, remind me tomorrow to say thank you to the man who sent me the picture of the windmill. All right? It's beautiful. 36 minutes after 12. Also, why have we got jokers in a pack of cards? Matt's in Guildford. Matt, question or answer?
Question, please, James. Why is there only one King Stephen?
And why is there only one King John?
Well, King John was a bit of a nightmare. Yeah. And obviously generated Magna Carta. I'm not sure why King Stephen's a problem.
Oh, I see. So you think that John wasn't repeated because he wasn't a very good king?
I think so. I mean, I'm a Republican, so I don't really care. But more concerned about why King Stephen's a bad name.
Well, who said he's got a bad name, though? That's why I'm confused.
Well, because no one ever used him again.
Well, I mean, we've not had...
Because my kids are watching Horrible Histories and going through the monarchy song, and I thought, only one Stephen.
I don't know. I don't understand the premise of the question, if you follow me.
Well, how many other kings only have one name?
Yeah, I know that. I mean, you've got eight Henrys, you've got... What, three Williams, is it? Four Williams?
Yeah.
You've got a couple of Edwards. Eight Edwards, seven Edwards, give or take. It's controversial, that one. James. Got one James.
Two Jameses.
Was there a James II?
I'm sure there was.
You sure?
No, not even.
I mean, you might as well ring me up and say, why have there been no King Cedric's?
Well, because there hasn't been any, but there's been one Stephen.
Yeah.
And from memory, one John. So, I know why John's bad, but why is Stephen not a good name?
Yeah. I'm going to put it on the board, obviously, because it's the school holidays and it's got a schooly flavour to it. But Stephen and Matilda, I'll put it, it's up there, all right?
That's kind, thank you.
Yeah, but it's the premise of the question that troubles me slightly. Also, my ignorance of English history is a source of never-ending shame to me. 12:38 is the time. 0345 60 60973 is the number that you need. Aidan is in Chiswick, God's own country. Aidan, question or answer?
Oh, hello, James. Oh. I have a question.
Carry on.
So it's either the greatest question of all time or a terrible question, and you're going to laugh at me.
All right.
The question is, why is there a third world country and we've got first world country? Where's the second world?
I don't know if it quite works like that. It's not a terrible question, but it had something to do with... NATO and the Warsaw Pact. I think third world countries originally were countries that were neither in NATO nor in the communist bloc. I think.
Oh. All right. I was sitting in the queue waiting, thinking, maybe I have the answer, and it definitely wasn't that.
I think that's it, because that way you've got first and second without them being first and second. You've got two, you could say first equal, NATO countries, communist bloc countries, and then you've got third world countries, which would be countries that are in neither.
Okay. Sounds all right to me.
It does, doesn't it?
I'm not in a position to give you a round of applause, but it sounds okay.
No, I'm going to take it. Blimey, where the heck did that come from? I hope my mum's listening. She'll feel a lot better about those school fees she paid if this one turns out to be true.
I'm glad the question was fairly. The answer was fairly intelligent as opposed to a really dumb question.
Well, so you never know. I mean, we could both end up embarrassed, Aidan. Let's not count our turkeys before they hatch.
It's a tough thing to call in and think, is this something that I've wondered?
No, it's a great question. I think the reason I know the answer is because we've dealt with it before, but only many, many moons ago. And if it turns out my memory is false, I shall blame it all upon the rubbishness of the question.
Fair enough. I'll be long gone by then.
Fine, there you go. Round of applause for me, please. Matt's in Hove. Question or answer, Matt?
Oh, I have an answer.
Carry on.
To the listed building question,
yes.
There's almost a couple of different answers, but the punishment can be as serious as imprisonment.
Shut the front door.
No, you can get done. I don't know how many cases there are of it. There can be fines, and I don't think there is a limit to the fine as well. And you can obviously get asked to reinstate stuff.
But if that's not possible to do, that would make it harder to... You make it more likely that you'll get a bigger fine or even a prison sentence.
Yeah. I mean, fortunately, there are ways to get around it still. You can get retrospective.
Yes.
Planning consent.
You can try. I mean, there's no guarantee that you'll succeed, but it is there. It depends how problematical your decision is. But if you've got some beautiful old watermill and you torch the watermill bit, then you're going to get into bother. Yeah.
You're going to be really in trouble, yeah. Like, you can get imprisoned and... supposedly. Off the top of my head, I don't know if anyone had done, but it is there. They have the ability. It can be a criminal offence. You've got to really annoy English Heritage up to do that, I'm sure.
Qualifications?
For my sins, I am an estate agent.
So you've had the retrospective thing. So if you'd come round my house when I was trying to sell it and you'd said, mate, you're not allowed that bathroom you put in.
Well, what you can do is you get indemnity.
Well, don't tell me now, because I paid to have it taken out again.
Well, yeah, no, sorry.
Yeah.
You get an indemnity policy.
No, I said don't tell me now, because I'd paid to take it out again. You just started telling me again.
I thought I'm an estate agent up here, no.
Give him a round of applause quick before he talks our ears off. Well played, Matt. Good answer. Duncan is in Richmond. Duncan, question or answer?
James, a question, please.
Carry on.
You know that famous bell chime that Big Ben plays and that's made its way into all our doorbells. Where does that come from? Because I've heard it in Europe as well.
That's a nice question.
Who on earth first came up with that?
Mozart. I could be an estate agent.
Just pluck one out of the air.
Bong, 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 bong. I was on a bus tour in Vienna on Monday. I may have mentioned this a couple of times already this week. The second largest bell in the world is in Vienna. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
You do now, mate. That's why you're tuning. You do now. I will find out for you. But the reason I mention that is it probably has something to do with... Don't laugh when I say it probably has something to do with bells. But there's only a certain amount, isn't there, of notes that you can get.
No? Don't be silly. You can make so many combinations.
Yeah, all right. I'll stop now. Because, of course, you could have bong, 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 bong.
Exactly.
Or bong, 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 bong.
We could do this for a while. You've
caught the show before, have you, Duncan?
Yes.
Let's find out, Marie. Where does the Big Ben bong, 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 bong come from? 0345 606 0973 is the number that you need. Mark's in Teddington. Mark, question or answer?
It's an answer, James.
Carry on, Mark.
It's about the turkey eggs question.
Ah, yes.
It's just basically a matter of cost. Turkeys lay about 2 eggs a week. Chickens can lay 1-2 a day, and turkeys take considerably more space than chickens do for farming kind of elements.
So and they haven't been bred to be... I mean, if you particularly wanted turkey eggs...
No, you can. You can get them, for sure.
Yes,
but it
exactly.
would just cost you quite literally an arm and a leg to have them, because they just are generally disposed of at the cost of
right, because the amount of food you need to feed a turkey, they're big old beasts.
Yeah. Exactly. So it takes up a lot more space, and it just costs the farms considerably more money to ship them out and sell them than
so they chuck them away.
Mm-hmm.
They either hatch them or chuck them away.
Precisely.
Oh, how sad. Qualifications?
My cousin is one of the largest turkey farmers in Germany. band. I asked him about 10 Christmases ago I went to visit him, and it is just the amount of turkeys he has.
Well, that's astonishing. Is he German?
He is German, yeah.
So he is the German Bernard Matthews?
I wouldn't like to put that name on him.
Why not?
Why not?
Yeah. Right, without the turkey twizzlers and stuff.
You wouldn't know who Bernard Matthews is.
Of course everyone knows who Bernard Matthews is. Beautiful. Beautiful. That answer. My cousin is did you say the second largest turkey farmer in Germany?
One of the largest.
Oh, what a shame. It would have been funnier if you'd been more specific.
I can't tell you how much, what number on the rank of turkey farmers he is, but he is one of the largest, I know that. He has something
10?
In the region of about 15 to 20,000 turkeys every autumn.
At this point, people who are as boring as I am would reach for a Brian Clough quote. Do you know what it is?
No.
So I'm not saying I'm the best football manager in the country, but I'm in the top.
At the Bank of Antandek, they're looking for a mascot.
We need an icon. Something that says high fly into all our mortgage customers.
Like a falcon or a stallion.
Or even better, a parrot. Check it out.
Meanwhile, at Santander, they're concentrating on helping customers find ways to take years off their mortgage with their overpayment calculator. See what's possible at Santander.
All applications are subject to status and our lending criteria. Your home may be repossessed if you do not keep up repayments on your mortgage.
One. Round of applause for Mark. That's a lovely answer. With proper qualifications as well. No, thank you, sir. Time is 12:45.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien.
It's 12:49. He would be Bernd Matthäus in Germany, writes Alex. If you weren't listening before the break, you'll never know why that made me chuckle. And he was Charles II's son. There was a James II. So why has there only ever been one Stephen? Assumes even more weight, perhaps. That explains why there haven't been any more Jameses. Because James II got slung out, handed over to his daughter, who was married to William of Orange. That would be William and Mary, am I right? Do you know, William, I think, didn't William of Orange die after falling off his horse in Richmond Park or out near Hampton Court? Again, I could be wrong, but if I'm not, you'll thank me for it one day. Israel's in Peckham, which is almost waiting for a punchline itself, but we've done it. We've done it before, so I'll spare you the repetition. Question or answer, Israel?
It's an answer, James.
Carry on. Go on.
It's an answer.
Good man, which one?
It's an answer to the Joker in the pack.
Yes.
So you were correct, and yes, it is my question. I answered this question about 2-3 years ago, actually.
I thought so. I thought it rang a bell. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So you were right. It does come and originate from the tarot, and it's based on the premise that when people go for tarot readings, the Joker, who is known today as the Fool, it's called the Fool today in the tarot deck, that the person who's actually coming for the reading, that or anybody who's consulting the oracle through via the tarot, is somewhat a bit of a fool, meaning that they're in a world of unknown. They don't know what's going to happen next. So hence why the Joker or the Fool in the tarot card is somewhat of a wild card. It doesn't even have a number. Even in the tarot deck, it's given the number 0. And it's the first card, actually, in the tarot deck as well. So there's something about a wildness and an unknown, thing.
Yes.
About the Joker or the Fool.
Which fits with the Fraser Joker in the pack, doesn't it, when you tell someone that.
Yeah.
What are your qualifications, Israel?
I'm a tarot card reader and teacher as well.
I knew that.
I teach here too. Yeah.
I knew that. And here's your second round.
You're meant to come for your reading. You said that about 2-3 years ago.
I know, but I don't take offence. I get a bit spooked out by it all, mate.
Yeah, I know you do.
Seriously. There was a bloke in Hammersmith doing it yesterday.
Everything is fine. It's, it's not really your cup of tea, but I would like to invite you to just know more about the premise of...
But I don't want to know what the future holds. I mean,
but it's not about the future.
Was,
the,
well, I don't want to know about. I don't want to know what the past holds either. I'm trying to forget it.
It's not about the future, James. It's about the now. It's about the present. All it's right. About where you're at right now.
Okay, I'm exactly where I want to be. Round of applause. Round of applause for Israel.
Thanks a lot.
No, you might. There you go. 12:52 is the time. Ben's in Hitchin. Ben, question or answer?
It's an answer.
Carry on.
To the Big Ben Bells question.
Can we say now, bong? Can we say Big Ben Bongs?
Big Ben Bongs.
Carry on. Yes.
So I believe it's something to do with military history, and the bit of info I have to answer the question is that they used to play Portsmouth home ground games close to a church or a hall with bells. And at the time that they wanted to finish the match, that tune was played because it's obviously a town, a Navy town.
Yeah.
And if Portsmouth are winning, the crowd started to sing the tune because they wanted the bells to ring, because the bells were how the referee knew that the game was supposed to end.
Really?
Apparently so. This is from my granddad. He's a big Pompey fan.
Oh, don't, mate. You've done it.
No. But he's also a renowned campanologist, bell ringer. He's one of only two people in the whole of the country to have rung a peal over the age of 90. And you can,
oh, wow. That's really impressive. Yeah. I'm going to give your grandfather a round of applause for being one of the nation's oldest campanologists. But I'm not giving you a round of applause for that answer.
Fair enough.
Because I'm 95% sure it's not right.
I think it's a part of the story. I don't think it's the origin of the song.
All through this hour, Lord be my guide, and by thy power no foot shall slide. No?
Also, play up, Pompey, play up.
Yeah, but there's no way Pompey play up came before a kind of 16th century hymn, is there?
It's a part of the history, but it's not probably the root cause you're looking for, no. Shout out, so I'm happy.
Yes, what's his name?
Grandad Tom.
Grandad Tom, this is for you. So the question is still on the board. Big Ben Bongs, where did they come from? Why is there only ever been one king of England called Stephen? And I think that's it, is it? Have we got anything else there? I think we've done quite well. Ben is in Birmingham. Ben, question or answer? Ben?
And it's the Stephen question.
Carry on. Why has there only been one king called Stephen?
The short answer, James, is that because he was in a power struggle with Matilda, as you mentioned before.
I kind of did.
And he lost.
Ah, so it's bad luck.
It's bad luck, really. So she founded the dynasty, which she was... They were both grandchildren of William the Conqueror.
Right.
She was the daughter of Henry the First. Her son became Henry the Second, who went on to have a row with Thomas Becket.
That's correct. And who will rid me of this turbulent priest?
Exactly. Which apparently he never actually said. It's like a beam me up Scotty kind of thing with Star Trek.
Mm.
So that's one of the legends. But... Henry, obviously, Henri, French name, because they're part of Normandy, going back to William the Conqueror.
Yeah.
It became a very regal name. Stephen fell out of fashion the longer it went through time. If he'd have won the war between himself and Matilda, we would have had more Stephen.
You know, I'll tell you how my mind works, all right? Because sometimes I forget it's mystery hour and I think we're still talking about flipping Brexit, so I'm about to do a zinger or dismount. Because if this is you know what I'd say now? I'd say, all right then, why have there not been any more Queen Matildas.
Yeah, well, women didn't rule in their own right, which is obviously something we can't agree with these days. But she had to be the queen on the arm of a king.
Yes, a consort until
the consort
until exactly. Elizabeth was it?
Oh, Mary the First was Elizabeth.
Yeah, Bloody Mary before Elizabeth. Yeah, until Henry the Eighth. Until Henry the Eighth's daughters.
And which, of course, the Henrys, which she was the daughter of and the mother of,
mm-hmm.
ran out. We haven't had one since the Eighth, which that name fell out of fashion as well. It's
quite a tricky character.
We haven't had a Richard since Richard the Third because he lost.
So it is. It just has. So the premise of the original question was bang on. And I owe an apology to the person who asked it. It is like John and like Richard. It has been... I'll tell you what it is, mate. It's brand. The brand got damaged, didn't it? Albeit hundreds and hundreds of years ago before anyone talked about brand management.
Yeah, there's nothing to suggest Stephen was a bad king at all.
Yes.
In the way that John is talked about. And obviously Shakespeare wrote a lot of propaganda about Richard III.
Yes,
there's nothing to suggest Stephen is bad, but he lost the war.
So he's bad luck rather than necessarily
fella. So.
That's a beautiful answer. I can guess at your qualifications, but I shall ask you formally. What are your qualifications, Ben?
Well, I could try and blag you and say that I'm a civil servant and our institution goes back as far as that does.
Very nice.
But no, just a fan of history.
And whereabouts in Birmingham are you?
Right in the middle.
Have you ever been to Harvington Hall in Chaddesley Corbett?
I have not.
Mate, there you go. That's your weekend sorted. You can see the priest holes that were actually built by Nicholas Owen, the famous priest hole builder.
I shall do that.
You'll love it. If you love history, you're going to absolutely love Harvington Hall. Seriously. And they do marvellous cream teas.
Ooh, my wife will be happy.
Everyone will be. Seriously, trust me. Nicholas Owen. I remember that name because of the newsreader. 12:57 is the time. Round of applause for Ben. Thank you, Keith. Alex is in Snodland.
Hello.
Is that a place?
It is a place, yeah.
Snodland?
It's just outside of the Medway towns.
Oh, okay. So my apologies for turning my nose up at your name of your town. What's your question? Right. Question or answer, Alex?
Answer.
Carry on.
To Big Ben bongs.
Ding, 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 ding. Yes.
It's a piece that's called Westminster Quarters, but it was originally apparently called Cambridge Quarters.
Ah.
And it was played in Great St Mary's Church in the centre of Cambridge.
That sounds familiar. Qualifications?
I'm reading it off of Classic FM.
You're what?
I'm reading it off of Classic FM.
So you looked it up?
I looked it up, yeah.
Oh,
it's really interesting. I thought,
no, it is.
I know,
but and you're a lovely bloke, and you obviously didn't hear the introduction, and the producer obviously was asleep when she put you through, because you're not allowed to look stuff up on Mystery Hour.
Fair enough.
I mean, I can't give you a round of applause, and in many ways, the question now remains officially unanswered, even though everybody now knows the answer. Dong, dong, dong. Jill's in Beckenham, possibly to save the day, and we'll go for the full house on Mystery Hour. Jill, question or answer?
An answer to the Westminster Chimes thing.
Oh, yes, carry on.
When I was about 12, my dad bought a grandfather clock, had Westminster Chimes, and we had to take it to pieces to fix the chimes, which weren't working. And we got quite interested in them, so we went to the library and did a lot of research on it. And he was right, it was for a church in Cambridge, and it was written in the 18th century, possibly by Handel.
And that is why you're not allowed to look stuff up, because the part of the beauty of your question was the dismantling of the grandfather clock and the little bit of family history that it involved, rather than just, no offence to Alex, he didn't know, but it's, that's why we do it the way that we do it. Qualifications, I dismantled a grandfather clock. Round of applause for Jill.
Thank you.
And that is it. We've done every single one this week. Here's Sheila Fogarty.
Thank you, James. I don't know how they keep a straight face, said Ken Clark. Just one more in a sea of reaction still coming in since Boris Johnson asked the Queen to approve the suspension of Parliament for 5 weeks. The outrage continues, protesters protest, lawyers argue, but the real fight will begin and end in the House of Commons. John McDonnell just told me that Labour is ready to bring the fight to the government and stop no deal. Hear him straight after the news. Ruth Davidson, resigning as leader of the Scottish Conservatives, didn't quite say, "Nay bother," but she did say that she believes Boris Johnson when he tells her he is working for a new deal from Europe, a new Brexit deal. So Ruth believes, do you?